because of so much data flowing in, and the innovative ways in which the hackers are actually hacking today's systems, right? There's a need to automate the way in which organizations deal with these different ways of being hacked, basically.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering airflow for data engineering and AI.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Karan Alang, who is a principal software engineer at Versa Networks. Karan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Kenton. Thanks for having me.
By the way, a quick disclaimer, the views expressed in this podcast are my own and are independent of my employer.
Good. Yeah, it's great to have you on. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Sure.
For today's podcast, we're going to discuss using Airflow for automating threat intelligence, which I think will be a really interesting topic. But before we get into that, I want to start with some background on you and the company that you work for. So maybe start by telling me a little bit about where you work and what Versa Networks does.
Versa is a networking and security company. It has softwares which help companies securely connect remote workers, offices, data centers, and cloud applications. So everything works safely and reliably.
Okay, got it. And at a high level, how does the company use Airflow?
So Airflow has been, in the group that I am in, AIML, right? It's been a fairly important part of the entire architecture. So we're using it for orchestration. It's been quite helpful. I think I've been using it for the last 3-4 years now. And it's been a lifesaver in many ways, right? The UI is amazing, and being able to debug issues, being able to launch different types of workloads like machine learning and Apache Spark workflows has been quite helpful. So Airflow has been great in that regard.
Okay, that's great. And I'd also like to hear a little bit more about your own background, because I understand you have quite a lot of experience in the data engineering and AI ML fields.
Yeah.
So what has been your general experience using Airflow, maybe beyond your current company?
Airflow actually I started using when I started working with Versa, right? In terms of my experience, I think I've got, like you said, a fair amount of experience, 25 plus years of experience in the software industry. I've currently working as a principal software engineer at Versa Networks, like you mentioned earlier. Prior to that, I've been involved with companies like Apple Inc., Lenovo Computers, US Steel, i2 Technologies, and a bunch of others, right? In the last 10, 12 years, especially in my tenure with Apple and Versa, a lot of it has been, data engineering, big data, cloud computing, AIML, and cybersecurity. So good amount of experience with data, good amount of experience with cloud computing, big data, right? The different solutions within the big data stack. And in the last few years, cybersecurity and AIML has been the focus of my career. Yeah, so it's a very varied experience. I mean, actually, I started off my career as a in the sales space. Yeah. I was doing a bit of sales, and then I moved into software engineering. And after that, has been a long tenure in the software engineering world. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
And to dig in a little bit more on the particular use case that we mentioned at the front, I know you've spoken publicly in the past, providing some thought leadership on using Airflow to automate threat intelligence. Which I think is really interesting. So tell me first about just what interested you in this use case and why you wanted to speak publicly about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is actually a very important topic in today's world. So as you are aware, you know, in the last few years, the number of devices that people have started using, right, in terms of the mobile devices and the laptops and the tablets, as well as companies started using cloud computing. Cloud computing has become a big part of the entire usage of devices per se, right? So, and of course, the fact that people have been sharing data on social media for one thing, right? Companies have become a lot more comfortable, storing data in the cloud. So the cloud computing usage has become quite a lot. Now, what has happened in this entire scenario is that hacking has actually become quite profitable now, right? So much of data is actually flowing into the different systems. And hackers are having a field day, right? They're finding innovative ways of hacking systems in the corporate world, especially, right? We've had so many instances of, data being stolen and you know, PII is being stolen and, you know, ransomware and stuff like that, right? So that is the background of this particular presentation. Because of so much data flowing in and not enough, and the innovative ways in which the hackers are actually hacking today's systems, right? There's a need to automate the way in which organizations deal with these different ways of being hacked, basically, right? And the fact is that there are not enough people or not enough SOC analysts. SOC is Security Operations Center. Okay, these are the guys who look at the data that is flowing into the systems, right? And there are not enough people to be able to manage these threats, so to speak, right? In an effective manner. And that is where the automation actually comes into picture. There have been efforts to, to be able to automate all this, but a lot of it is, lot more needs to be done. Okay, and that is where this presentation is actually, I think, in some ways, a novel way of trying to address this particular problem.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Certainly sounds like a very important use case. And then give me a little bit of background on, you know, what particular solution you're solving with Airflow and, you know, maybe some of the background kind of concepts that folks might not be aware of.
Sure. So, like I mentioned, the topic that I presented at the Airflow Summit 2025, right, was essentially automating threat intelligence using a bunch of softwares like Airflow, right? XDR, which stands for Extended Detection and Reaction. Then you have, and I'll go into some details, a little bit of details on that. Then you have LLMs, which is probably one of the most important pieces of the entire architecture. Then you have the GraphDB like Neo4j. That's also super important. And of course, you have MITRE ATT&CK, right? So these are the four or five different pieces of the entire architecture, which I've highlighted, which I've used in the particular presentation, right? Now, yeah, so that's the... Those are different solutions. And Airflow, of course, is a big part of it because that is what I've used for the entire orchestration, leveraging the experience that I've had at Warsaw. Yeah.
Got it. That makes sense. And explain to me, and those who might not be familiar, what the MITRE ATT&CK framework is.
Yeah, MITRE ATT&CK actually is the standard for... So essentially, it's a globally available database, right? What it does is, what it has is something called TTPs, which stands for... Tactics, techniques, and procedures. So, in layman's term, it is essentially a database which specifies how, or which lays out the different ways in which a hacker can actually attack a particular system. So, tactics is nothing but the how of the attack. Essentially, it says that okay, this is what is happening in the system. Why is it happening, or how is that? Oh, actually, it's the why, not the how. This is the system, and why is the attacker trying to do what it is trying to do? So, when you look at the logs. Okay, that is the first step. And each of these whys have the techniques and sub-techniques, which essentially specify how the system is actually being attacked. For example, you might get a phishing email. Okay, that could be a technique. Okay, you might get a ransomware kind of attack. Okay, that could be one technique, right? So those are techniques and sub-techniques. Okay, and again, the interesting thing is, you know, many of these tactics can be many of the tactics can be part of one single attack. Okay, it's not just one tactics and one technique, you know, which is equivalent to one attack. It could be a series of tactics and techniques which are employed by these or deployed by these hackers to attack a particular system, right? And finally, look at the procedures. These are essentially implementations of these specific techniques, right? So MITRE ATT&CK, essentially, to summarize, it is a global database which most of the organizations used to essentially identify that, you know, this is how an attacker can actually attack a system, and therefore it helps them prepare or mitigate these attacks, essentially, right? So that is what a MITRE ATT&CK is. It is a globally recognized database for cybersecurity, right? And most of the organizations essentially leverage that to be able to, deal with these ever-increasing, efforts at hacking, right? The interesting thing, of course, I mean, while it has so much of information, as I mentioned earlier, in today's world, you know, the hackers have become quite innovative. There are new ways that are being, that they are actually utilizing. And those also get added to these MITRE ATT&CK databases, essentially.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.
And then so with that context and what you said earlier about kind of the framework for which you're implementing this solution, tell me a little bit more about why you've chosen the tools that you do for this solution that you're advocating, particularly Airflow.
Yeah. So Airflow, again, is the backbone of the entire thing, right? It is what I use for orchestration. But the other important pieces are, for one thing, XDR. XDR, like I said, stands for Extended Detection and Reaction, right? So it is a cybersecurity tool, which is used by many organizations, right? It is used in conjunction with other tools like SIEM and SOAR and EDR, right? I'll not get into details of these because that would be a separate podcast in itself. But what it does is it basically, you know, gives an overall view of the different logs that are coming in, right? So a cybersecurity personnel, a SOC analyst, does not need to go into these different other tools like SIEM and, you know, EDR and SOAR, and essentially can focus on looking at one different tool, which is the XDR. And in the presentation that I put out, right, I've used Microsoft Defender X XDR. So that is a system that provides a log, okay, the network logs that we essentially use for this analysis, right? So that is the first piece. The second piece is the GraphDB, which is Neo4j. Now, when the logs do come in, the network logs, right, that'll essentially, so those logs need to be looked at to figure out what is happening in the network, right? Whether an attack is actually happening and what kind of attack is. More importantly, what kind of attack is actually happening, right? So now one option is to put it into a SQL database, right? So you could have different entities, for example, a person trying to attack, right? Into one database, a person database, for example, and the type of attack into a separate database. But what I've chosen to do is, and which is probably the right way, is to put this into a GraphDB, like Neo4j, primarily because it gives you the entire picture, right? So you have different entities. So you have the person, you have a particular resource, for example, and then there's a relationship between the two. That's what the graph database actually shows you, right? So it gives you the entire picture, and you don't have to, you know, and the SOC analyst, for example, doesn't need to look at different tables in a SQL database to figure out what the issue is, right? He looks at the entire picture, and you can use graph traversals or techniques like BFS and DFS to essentially look at the entire data. So that's one critical piece, right? This entire data gets into a GraphDB, right? And beyond that, the key part is the LLMs now. That is the novel, that is the key part in this entire architecture. Now, as you're aware, LLMs are being used quite a lot now. And in this particular architecture, what it does is it looks at the GraphDB, looks at the data, and maps it to the different MITRE attack tactics and techniques. And that is the key, right? So you already have that information. Now you want to be able to make sure that, you know, whatever is happening in the network, the attack that is happening, you want to be able to map it to that particular technique so you know what the solution for that is, or how you're going to actually deal with that particular thing. Okay, so LLMs do that. So without the LLMs, the SOC analyst will have to do a manual look at the data and map it to the different tactics and techniques. And that is very difficult because the volume of logs is huge, like I mentioned earlier, right? And there are not enough people to be able to do all that effectively, right? So LLMs will do that. It also assign a score to the different users, right? And that essentially indicates that, you know, a particular person, for example, if I'm logging into a network and I'm doing things which are actually bad, right? The LLM will actually flag that out and say, okay, you know, I have a low score and therefore I'm a bad actor. And when that happens, the human in the loop, which is again a very common, very important concept in the world of Gen AI and LLMs, that comes to the picture. He comes to the picture and he looks at it and, you know, tries to understand if, you know, I'm actually a bad actor or actually a good actor, right? So that is one critical piece in the entire thing, right? So LLMs essentially are automating, you know, mapping the different indicators of the IOCs and the IOAs into the MITRE ATT&CK database, right? And assigning a score. And finally, also explaining, giving an explainable reason as to what has happened and what we need to do about that, right? So LLMs are very good at that. So that is one very important part of the entire architecture. And that is what I wanted to highlight, okay? So beyond that, then you have the Airflow, like I said, right? So that is a key piece again. So it is used for orchestrating the inflow of data. So we're trying to make sure that, you know, data is actually coming in, and that is where Airflow is helping in orchestration. It is helping in, you know, also converting the data into the graph format, right? It is helping in essentially orchestrating the LLM work, right? That as well. So the entire orchestration is done by LLMs. So these are the four or five parts of the entire architecture, which is helping this architecture or this particular solution automate the entire threat that the networks are actually facing.
Right? Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. That's such a unique, from my experience, way of using Airflow. And I think it sounds, very effective there.
Yeah.
Just on one last question on this particular use case, and that's, what advice would you give to teams who are looking to improve their threat detection and might be interested in this solution that you've presented?
Yeah, so I think the key problems that most organizations face when they're trying to deal with threat detection is essentially the fact that they are unable to, or they're not able to deal with the volume of logs that is actually flowing in. They are short-staffed for one thing, right? And even if they are, they're using the traditional methods, which are, you know, like signature-based detection of threats, right, and stuff like that, right? What would happen is the amount of time it takes for them to actually understand what is happening. By that time, the threat would have actually materialized, right? So some of the, you know, things that a hacker would typically do is, you know, he logs into one particular system, and then because there's not enough security built into the system, he would move on to a different system within the same environment, right? And that is called lateral movement, right? Then the higher level of that would be something like exfiltration. So you have the entire data, right? And that is what happens in many of the cases where, you know, organizations say, okay, there's been a leak, you know, in terms of your data has actually got leaked, right? So what happens is because they're able to get access to the system, they are actually, the data is actually going out, and that's called exfiltration. So these are the issues that many of the organizations face. And the reason for that being that they're not able to automate the entire process of threat detection, right? And this architecture that I've defined essentially helps in doing that, right? So any people who are actually facing these kind of issues, and there are many of them, right, from my knowledge, leveraging, you know, the GraphDBs and the LLMs and Airflow, of course, actually helps mitigate this very serious problem that we have at this point of time.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for going through that super, super useful information there.
Yeah.
I always like to end with a standard final question for all of our guests, and that is, what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future?
Yeah, good question. Like I said, within my in the last 3-4 years, you know, I've had a fairly good experience with Airflow. We have been able to launch and monitor, you know, some key and complex DAGs. You know, we've been able to launch Spark workflows. We've been able to do machine learning training and stuff like that. Right. We've also been able to, you know, host Airflow on our environment and use different techniques to be able to make this work very smoothly. But I think one thing that, again, we are on Airflow 2.x. I've not moved to 3.x, and I'm only partially familiar with 3.x. I know it was a big release, but we haven't really moved there yet. So one thing that that I was thinking was, you know, given that I have a background and I'm very on ML, AI, and cybersecurity, you know, I think, and the fact that LLMs have become so important in today's world, I think LLMs probably should be a first-class citizen and Airflow as well, maybe, right? So you have different operators. For example, you have the Spark operators, Dataproc Spark operators, but I'm not sure if you have operators for LLMs and for, essentially enabling these cybersecurity use cases, right? So for example, if I'm doing something like anomaly detection or trying to do something like user behavior, user entity behavior analysis, right? So that right now is dependent on my knowledge of, you know, of the entire process, of the entire industry, right? And essentially from Airflow perspective, I think it would be great to have LLMs actually as a first-class citizen, and so you could have some operators maybe, you know. It's a thought. I'm not sure if that is possible or if you already have that, right? But that would be great, actually. Yeah,
I think that's a great answer. Do you think that that's something that the open source project in general is focused on, is adding more support for LLM workflows? And Astronomer has our Airflow AI SDK. So that's provides some decorators that make it a little easier to interact with LLMs. But I think there's definitely a lot of room for further contributions there.
Yeah, perfect. And apart from LLMs, I think you could probably also look at the cybersecurity space and say that, okay, this is what, for example, this is the kind of model that you would probably want to use for, let's say, anomaly detection or some of the other use cases. I mean, these are use cases which are being used by many organizations, most of the organizations, right? So it could be a way forward for Airflow as well.
Absolutely. I love that. Okay. Well, Karan, it's been really great speaking with you. Really appreciate you sharing all of your knowledge on this topic. Just to close us out, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is probably the best way. All right. Anybody who has questions or who needs, you know, advice on AIML data engineering for that matter, I'm always open to connecting with them on LinkedIn and responding to questions.
Okay, great. Well, we'll include that in the show notes. Karan, thank you again. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kenton. It's been a pleasure being part of this podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.